Good morning.
We light the candle of hope. We come, we listen for the voice of the one who gives us hope. Like the whisper of an angel's wings, let us hear the whisper of the voice of hope.
Psalm 65 from the CEV says, Our God, you deserve praise in Zion, where we keep our promises to you. Everyone will come to you because you answer prayer. When our sins get us down, you forgive us. You bless your chosen ones and you invite them to live near you in your temple. We will enjoy your house, the sacred temple. Our God, you save us, and your fearsome deeds answer our prayers for justice. You give hope to people everywhere on the earth, even those across the sea. You are strong, and your mighty power and the mountains in place. You silence the roaring waves and the noisy shouts of the nations. People far away marvel at your fearsome deeds, and all who live under the sun celebrate and sing because of you. You take care of the earth and send rain to help the soil grow all kinds of crops. Your rivers never run dry, and you prepare the earth to produce abundant grain. You water all its fields and level the lumpy ground. You send showers of rain to soften the soil and help the plants sprout. Wherever your footsteps touch the earth, a rich harvest is gathered. Desert plains blossom and mountains celebrate. Meadows are filled with sheep and goats. Valleys overflow with grain and echo with joyful songs. We know that through the promises of God and through the gift of God's Son Jesus to us, we are a people of hope. I invite you now to share with the people next to you a hope that you have for this Christmas. Please share now. As you come back to your seats, I invite you to join us in prayer. Thank you.
Gentle God, fill us now with your whispered hope. Let us hear your voice reminding us gently of the hope you have given us in the busyness of the next few weeks. Help us to remember the one who came to give us hope.
Help us not to have lives that reflect an unwelcoming in that has no place for you, but to make room and welcome you each day into our lives. Let us know how to make room for others so that they can also know your voice of welcome and hope. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian and Sam. Strangely enough, I've been thinking about Advent. And it's occurred to me, because in Advent we look forward to celebrating Jesus' birth, but we also look forward to his second coming. But it's occurred to me that the advent of God has always been in the purposes of God since before time began. It was always the intention that Jesus would come. And there was always the intention that Jesus would come again. John's vision in Revelation describes a throne. And in chapter 4, we read the following. In the centre Around the throne were four living creatures. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And this first song we're going to sing reflects that aspect of God, the one who was and is to come. We sang it last time in Advent 2021, so if you were here then, you might remember. But it's pretty simple. Just stay seated for now. Praise Him, thank You for the gift that we acknowledge and embrace at Christmas as we journey towards Christmas. Lord, help us to be mindful of who You are and all that You've done and all that You have planned to do in and through the humanity of Jesus for all time. Help us, Lord, to see You perhaps in new ways. To understand how much You have loved us, forgiven us, embraced us, and how much You hold us close to Yourself. And so, Lord, this morning, we give You praise and thanks for this hope that we all have, that is ours. And so we give You praise, we give You thanks, dear Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand now, if you're able to, and sing with us again.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name.
Before you take your seats, with those words echoing in your thoughts, worshipping God's holy name, pass on. Okay. Welcome to a wet Sunday. Welcome to those of you who are watching online. And just for the benefit of those who are watching online, but also those of you who are here as well, there is a notice in the grapevine this week about our online streaming, our live streaming, and we will not be live streaming the service on Christmas morning, and then from the 31st of December through to the end of January, there will be no live stream. So our intention is to commence live streaming again from the first Sunday in February. So if you do watch us on a regular basis online, you feel like you would like to participate, come and join us on those Sundays. Just a couple of things that I will highlight from the grapevine. The adult fellowship has its Christmas luncheon on Thursday the 14th of December. That's this coming week. And you can get in touch with Pam, and her phone number's in there if you would like to attend that event. Everybody likes a Christmas luncheon. Also, I'd like to highlight the roster is coming up again. Rosters keep us in the flow. Fiona is putting together the roster for the first quarter. She's in the throes of working that out now. And so have a read of that notice. We are always looking for singers and musicians and Bible readers and intercessors and so on. And some of the things like Malcolm and Kirsten and Dennis are doing at the back there might sound a bit intimidating or daunting, but if you have a little bent for technology, then have a talk with those people up the back. You might like to put your name down, and we can train you in those things. Well, I can't, but we do have some people who can do that. Also, the welcomers roster. Sue's over there. Sue's looking after the welcomers roster in the months ahead. And if you'd like to participate in that, a very important aspect of welcoming people as they come in on Sunday mornings, please have a word with Sue after the service. And then finally, on the 19th of December, Varel has a music concert here, Tuesday 19th of December from 2 to 3 p.m. of some of her students, just an informal concert. And finally, Marge and I paid a visit to DJP on Friday, and he is going to be discharged this coming week. It's really amazing the distance he has come since he was first admitted. Staggering difference. And his physios have actually been jumping him steps instead of taking him, you know, one step at a time and plan. They wanted to see if he could cope with jumps, and they have jumped, and he has coped, and he continues to jump. So he's now walking with the aid of a walker. Originally, when he started to get up, it was with a Zimmer frame. So he can, with the help of some straps around his lower legs to stop his knees from caving in, he can actually walk himself on his walker. Please keep praying for him. He still has a very long way to go. But he, I think, is looking forward to being home and spending Christmas in his own home with his family. Okay. We are going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. And that includes offering ourselves. Of course, offering ourselves to God is something we can do every day. Stay seated for a while.
To you, let my heart be cheered.
Thank you that you have opened our eyes, that you do lead us, that you do guide us, you do hold us close, so close, Lord. Help us to be reminded daily of your love, that your love surrounds us. And again, Lord, help us to be mindful of the hope that is ours in what is at the moment a very chaotic world. And so, Lord, we bring our offerings to you this morning, our resources, our finances, and more than that, Lord, ourselves, and pray that you would use us in this place and beyond these walls to serve you and to serve your kingdom. That in our lives and in our community, you will be glorified. And for all these things, Lord, we give you praise and thanks. Abba, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take your seats.
Good morning. As we bring our prayers of intercession before God today, let's also take some time to thank him for the many blessings we've already received. Let us pray. Lord, the needs of our world can be overwhelming, and often it can be a struggle knowing what we should do. The one thing we know that we can do is pray. Prayer is powerful. We ask your blessing on our food, friends and family, and give thanks for this special time as Christmas approaches, when we can all be together. Lord, we do know, however, that while many welcome the Christmas season, there are those for whom it will always be a difficult time. Perhaps they are mourning the loss of someone dear to them, or there is estrangement in the family. We pray for the hungry, the homeless, and those who deal with sickness on a daily basis. We especially remember our minister David and his family, and ask that you bless them this Christmas with a family gathering that allows him to be at home in the midst of his loved ones. We pause to bring those on our hearts and minds before you now. We ask that you give them support and comfort and bless them in their time of trial. May they know your presence is with them and that you're their strength and salvation. Father, we know the outback always needs rain, but in the last few days we've experienced fire, flooding, blackouts, severe wind and extreme heat, and the farmers are still suffering prolonged drought. But we're heartened to see how our communities are coming together to help their neighbours, and ask that you give them stamina and strength to complete the many tasks ahead of them. Lord, we pray that you will grant our world leaders the wisdom to see beyond the boundaries of race and religion to a common humanity. We ask that you will be with those innocent victims of war and persecution, who fear for their lives or who have lost their homes and families, and also with the children orphaned by these conflicts. Be their shelter and strength. Father, we ask for your blessing on our church here at the Vines. We pray for the confidence and optimism to be regularly a part of our church community. For our minister Trevor, our leaders and worship team, and all those actively working to bring us back to a place of unity and peace. We continue to pray for your encouragement and guiding hand. For all these intercessions and those which remain in our heart, we hold them up to you and ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. You please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, 20, verse 28 to 31. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the eternal God, creator of the earth. He never gets weary or tired. His wisdom cannot be measured. The Lord gives strength to those who are weary. Even young people get tired, then stumble and fall. But those who trust the Lord will find new strength. They will be strong like eagles, soaring upward on wings. They will walk and run without getting tired. The second reading comes from the New Testament, the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 3 to 8. But that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit who fills our hearts with love. Christ died for us at a time when we were helpless and sinful. No one is really willing to die for an honest person, though someone might be willing to die for a truly good person. But God showed how much he loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were sinful. This is the word of the Lord.
Please remain seated while we sing.
A new piece of liturgical furniture. I was amused to get here this morning and to see that it was already here, but a little further back than I wanted to be. So I was amused at that. Secondly, I am surprised that I am here because I thought I was coming to be with you during summer and autumn. Go figure. You know, it's not summer or autumn. Well, I suppose it is. But I know we've had 60 mils of rain since this latest lot has started. But we always get a bit more at our place because we're at the bottom of Chandler's Hill. But nonetheless, it's quite a confronting day. So would you pray with me just as we get ready to hear God's word? Loving Father, we rejoice that you are here. That through your Holy Spirit, you're among us. And Lord, we look forward to you working in us. Open our hearts and minds that we might know the presence of your Spirit and hear your word. Amen. Now I remind you what I've reminded you a few times, that if you end up starting a conversation with God's Spirit and wander off and don't hear everything I say, that's okay. Okay? It's about acknowledging that this is a process between God and us, a God who is present through his Holy Spirit and is wanting to engage with us. Now, how many of you have got a long enough memory to remember seeing the film Schindler's List? That's about a half, that'll do. Okay, one of the very powerful scenes for me is of the girl in the red coat. Do you remember this? That there's a girl, it's all in black and white at this point, and there's a girl in a red coat walking through a crowd, through the crowd in the concentration camp. And the German officer gets out his rifle and just shoots her. Completely random. It strikes me that that is evil defined. It's completely random. The girl doesn't know it's coming. There's nothing she can do to prevent it. It's an awful thing. And yet, it just happens. That's evil. Sorry, I think that's one of the better definitions of evil that you will find in modern cinema. Concentration camps taught us a lot. Viktor Frankl, in his book Man's Search for Meaning, talked about the fact that in the concentration camps where he was, that when people lost hope, they died. Hope was incredibly powerful in sustaining people through the greatest of troubles. Hope was an important part of people keeping an understanding of who they were and an understanding of having a future. For us, we need to hear this because we live in a world that is like the world was for people in those concentration camps. It was chaos all through. They were picked up at random by the Gestapo or the SS, shoved into trucks, shoved into rail trucks, and off they went. And then, whether they lived or not, was completely random. You know, the guards would be there shifting in one way or the other, depending on who they thought they could use for slave labour. And if they didn't think you'd be any good as slave labour, that was it. An awful, chaotic scene. Can you imagine what it must have been like with mothers being separated from their children? Families being torn apart. Brothers, one chosen, one not. Can you imagine yourself in such a tormented situation? Such a chaotic situation? And yet for people in many parts of the world, that is what it is like. You know, when we get people who just come up to a bus station and shoot people. When you don't know if the next rocket or artillery shell is going to fall on your house. If you don't know, if your partner is going to choose today to kill you. To be in the midst of terror and fear is a place of chaos. You never know what's happening. It's all swirling around you. That you live in fear. Was kind of untethered, outlandish opinion. and you don't know how to deal with it. It's chaos. And how do you maintain hope in the face of chaos? It's a very powerful thing to be lost. I only ever remember feeling lost once. Well, I mean, badly lost. I mean, I've been lost in the car a few times, particularly in Slovenia, but Google Maps wasn't very good there. You know. And we met some lovely people. But I remember as a small child, well, I might have been 10 or 12, being separated from my mother in John Martin's in the city. Yes, I know that's a long time ago. You too?
Same store.
Yeah, same store. Probably not the same day. You know, but I was distraught. I didn't know what to do or where to go, and I burst out crying, and some kind lady took me to, you know, one of the counters, and they called out for little Trevor's mum. I remember that. And of course my mum, who knew I was gone by then, came running over, and it was fantastic. But I remember feeling lost. I don't know how many of you have ever felt really lost and afraid. But that was how I felt. At that time, I didn't know what was coming. I had no sense of future. And I believe that is a part of what hope brings us, a sense of future. For us to hear those words from Isaiah 40, those words that to a people that were lost in exile, people who were a long way away from their own land, as they were in the land of Babylon. And so for him to say they will rise up on wings like eagles, they will run and not be tired. For these people who can't even see past the end of today, here is a word of a future. Here is a word of what will become. And that's one of the important things that hope does. It calls us into a future. Now, you're going to get a couple of... Well, you've just got to put up with it. I liked the film The Dish. I know Sam Neill doesn't rate it as one of his great movies, but it's a nice little movie, isn't it? Those of you who have seen it. I mean, apart from the lovely stuff with the girl who brings the morning tea and parks by touch. Oh, none of you remember that. And the inevitable build-up of anxiety about will he ask her out or not? And then eating half a sheep, if you remember the American guy who says that after they've been to lunch. But in the midst of that, do you remember they lose the Apollo lunar module, right? They lose it. Do you not remember this? It's kind of the centrepiece of the film, really. And they lose it, and they're all running around going, what do we do? What do we do? And then one of them, I can't remember which one, looks out the window and says, I know where it is. Do you remember that? Do none of you remember this film? Oh, good, I'm glad, a few. And he points to the moon. He points to the moon and says, I know where it is. That's where it is. It's on its way to the moon and it should be quite close to it. And then they search for it and find it, you know, because of course you've always got to have a happy ending. But he found, as it were, a rock to hang it off. And in Apollo 13, when they've got to fire the retro rockets without the computer and all that sort of stuff. You know, he does the same thing. He says, look, there's our reference point, the earth, when he looks out and looks out the window. I must be weird. I remember these things. Good, great. There's just all this stuff that one of the really important things that hope does is it gives us a reference point. Hope enables us to have a stable place from which we can look to the future. And that's very important. That's what Viktor Frankl knew about hope. And it's what we know about people who need hope to get them through. They need a stable reference point, a rock, as it were. And for us, Jesus is our rock. He's our stable reference point. So that when the world is in turmoil, we can find something solid to hang on to. I love Negro spirituals, and you're very lucky I'm not going to sing one to you. But can you remember the themes of the Negro spirituals? You know, things like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, Coming for to Carry Me Home. One of the most powerful images that I can think of. These people who have got nothing, have got no basis on which to hope. They are slaves and will remain slaves until they die. And if you've got a really bad master, tough luck, princess. There's nothing you can do about it. But for those people who had no hope in this world, they look forward to their hope in the return of Jesus. They look forward to their hope in the fact that they were loved and cherished by the Lord of their life. For them, that was their rock, not of this world, but a rock that was Jesus. In our life, so many people give us false platitudes of hope. Things like, it'll all be right in the end, and if it's not, then it ain't finished. I mean, really? Think about that for a minute. What's the substance of that? Zero. Or it's all right, darling, it'll all come out well. How do you know? It doesn't always come out well. We get so many and give so many false platitudes. Hope comes from a stable reference point, a rock that you can cling to. Some of the old Sankey songs had some of that in it. Now, I know you're all too young for Sankey songs. You know, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Good image of chaos, isn't it? As someone who gets seasick, I understand what that feels like. You know? But without a solid point of reference, when all of the things that we can't get a grasp on are happening around us, without that solid point of reference, they can overwhelm us. We're coming up to Christmas. One of the gifts of Jesus coming to us as a little baby is it's God committing to the future of the world. God is saying, I'm sending my son in with you. Your world is not alien to me. Your world will not overcome you because I have sent my son to you so that you will not be overcome. Can you hear that word hope? God cared enough that he sent his son so that the things that are troubling you will not overcome you. One of the very powerful words of hope in our time. Because it's not something that we have to do. It's something that God has done. It's the rock that is placed into our world and by our side. That's what Jesus coming into the world has done. It has put that solid thing there. We can point out the window and say, it's there. Sorry, I was referring back to the dish, I'm sorry. But you know, there's this whole thing that God has intervened so that in the chaos of our world, we have a solid rock in Jesus. You know, when I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Again, I'm not going to sing it for you. You know, I nearly could, and I'm tempted, but I won't. You know that, but there's that whole thing that Jesus is the solid point. And it's the solid point from which we gain our hope. So what should we do about this, that this Christmas? First of all, thank God that he sent a rock for us. In amongst all of the presents and all of the food and all of the booze, you know, in amongst all of that, just stop and say, God sent Jesus that I might have a solid basis to hope. That I could know that there would be a future. Whether it's in this world or in the world to come, my future is with God. In the midst of all of the turmoil, there is this solid foundation. I belong to God. And he claims me as his beloved child. In a world of chaos where it seems like everything's going wrong, God still has a design and a purpose for the world. So first of all, thank God for Jesus. Secondly, remind people, even if it's only your fellow Christians, just remind them that Christmas is about God bringing the hope of being in a loving relationship, or the hope that comes from being in a loving relationship with him. Remind each other. It's a powerful truth. And we need to hear those words. We need to be encouraged in those words. And thirdly, in the face of the things that are in danger of overwhelming you, of the chaos that is in danger of taking over your life, turn to Jesus. At the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity when we pray. Now, there'll be an opportunity for any of you who need prayer to come down the front and someone will pray with you. If you are feeling on the edge of being overwhelmed by the chaos around you, then reach out and pray with someone. Because God doesn't want you to be overwhelmed by chaos. He will be with you on that difficult journey. You will not have to face it alone. And that is a very strong part of the hope that comes from Christ. He was sent into the world so we would know we wouldn't be alone. So simply, give thanks. Share with each other about the hope that comes through Christ and be prepared to pray with someone else preferably, but by yourself at least, that Christ will sustain you in the face of overwhelming chaos. Look out the window. The moon's there. It's there. Okay? I know where it is. It's there. Yes, I know where it is. It's in Christ.
Stand and sing together. You will know. You will know this song. left your throne and your kingly crown when you came to the earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for your holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room when you come to me. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming your royal degree. But in lowly birth, Lord, you came to earth and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room where you come to me. The foxes found rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the cedar. Was known you could call your own on the hillsides of Galilee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room when you come to me. When you came, oh Lord, with the living word that should set
pointed to the future and said, there's a place for us with God. Well, I've got news for you, folks. There's a place for Jesus at your side right now. As you leave this place, may you go welcoming Jesus to walk with you. As you leave this place, may you know the joy of the love of God surrounding you. And as you leave this place, may you know the Holy Spirit refreshing and renewing you. Amen.
Then my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus.